What's your assessment of where the race is at this point? You know, it's kind of an interesting race. You're in Harrisonburg, Jennifer Lewis is in Waynesboro, two people here in Roanoke, so it's sort of regional, Sergio. What's your assessment, and are people learning who Sergio Coppola is?
We're very fortunate. A lot of the committees now know who we are. We've been going and doing forums and going up and down the district and reaching out, and they've been doing a good job of publicizing those type of meetings. Now it's really popular within the 2 weeks of, just because that's when we start getting more outreach between news coverage. And so that's been helping a lot, too. I like to tell people that when speaking even to a far-right Republican sometimes, yeah, we might disagree on many things, but then we start talking about the common ground politics. After the conversation continues, we come to a common ground and they say, well, you know, you're a candidate that I could vote for. That's meant a lot to me, and that's why I've made the staple of being a moderate Democrat, because that's the type of candidate we need to reach out to both sides of the political aisle. And that's the kind of candidate that we want, not just for the primary election, but the general election. People are really tired of polarized politics.
And is that what it's going to take to win in a district that leans red and has voted historically red for years? And I've actually read some criticism online about some of your positions, maybe because you weren't Democratic enough, Sergio, but we're talking with Sergio Coppola, Democratic candidate for the 6th Congressional District in the primary on Tuesday. Is it going to take someone more of a centrist to be able to have a chance to beat Ben Klein in November?
Absolutely. You have a further left candidate that comes to an approach. The reality is that how is that person going to reach out to a moderate Republican? Or even if they do reach out, how would they expect him to be well received from that type of candidate if you're, you know, further left? And so absolutely, looking at the numbers, looking at the polls, looking at the voting history just in our district, I've made the statement we're a 2-to-1, two Republicans to one Democrat district.
It's a big hill to overcome.
Absolutely. And you have to be able to pull that extra one from the other side and go, look, your type of candidate you want is that middle of the road candidate. And I've been very successful in going out and reaching out to those type of voters, those type of people. And that I firmly believe. I said that I am the most likely candidate to be successful in a general election. And when we compare our type of district to other districts out there, we saw what happened in Pennsylvania. I've heard Pennsylvania referenced another really red. When you look at the type of candidate that they actually won on the Democratic ticket, it was because, I would argue, he is further right than I was on stances. And so that shows that it's capable, it's possible, but you definitely need that right candidate, the correct candidate, to do it.
We're talking with Sergio Coppola, Democratic contender for the 6th Congressional District nomination next Tuesday. There are four candidates in the primary. When you talk to people, Sergio, what do people want to ask about?
Number one is health care. It's always been health care.
Health care as far as they need a cheaper plan or what?
All of the above. So when I was in college, I studied national and international health care. When I got out of college, my wife works as an insurance broker, and we were seeing at that time, which was closer to the end of, you know, the Northam campaign, seeing the rates, because that's the renewal rates going in, and the policies were doubling, tripling. You're seeing people paying $1,500 to $2,000 a month and saying, well, if I have to choose between my health care coverage and my mortgage or my rent, I need a place to live and I need to take care of my family that way. And people shouldn't have to make those kind of decisions.
You're for something called a dual health care plan. What is that?
So dual care is a public buy-in option, and it's at 9% of your income. And the reason why I came up with 9% is because in the ACA, that's what it determined is affordable health care to everyone, 9 to 9.5%. And so I just made it 9%. And while sculpting that plan, I looked at other international policies.
Was this universal health care? Everybody would pay it like you pay FICA?
But you have a choice. So that's what makes it the dual care plan, because you have the choice either to pay 9% of your income, which is pulled out of your paycheck, or that you have the option to continue on the free market. Other countries that have higher health care quality, that rate in the top 10 in the world, have very similar structured plans. So when people are saying that the option should be single payer or nothing, they didn't research health care. I have. So when you're talking about single payer, that's compared to the Canadian system most of the time. Well, Canada is rated 30th in the world, and America is rated 37th in the world. And so to saying that that is the best we can do and the best option we have, I would argue that there are many options out there that we could have. I want to be in the top 10 in the world, and having a public buy-in option is how we get there.
If it's single payer, if you take that option, is it run by the government, or do they outsource it to a private healthcare system?
Single payer is ran by the government, and it's very similarly to a public buy-in option, which is a federally organized healthcare plan. So you're paying that 9% into the federal government.
I'm talking with Sergio Coppola, candidate for the 6th Congressional District in next Tuesday's primary. What's your reaction to Medicaid expansion becoming the law of the land in Virginia as we speak? It'll be signed any minute now.
It's a much-needed plan. And I'm very glad that we are doing it. But the one thing that I've been going out and speaking with, talking about why healthcare is important. Well, we have so many supplement programs, so Medicaid, Medicare, the CHIP program, all of the things. And the one thing I said is that if we had a great quality healthcare system, you wouldn't need supplements and supplemental plans. And so that's why I said if we fix our healthcare system, then they're covered by these plans, and that's why we need a better healthcare system.
So you see Medicaid expansion as a stopgap, basically.
Right.
A couple more questions. Infrastructure, 81. You live right near 81. What do we do about infrastructure needs, you know, whether it's widening 81 or making other improvements? How do we fund that? I know President Trump's proposal put a lot of the emphasis about 80-20 on the states, but how do we create a fund to fix the infrastructure in this country?
So it's very interesting you bring that up. I was just speaking about it on the way here. I've been fortunate enough to reaching out to economic doctorates. Those economists have reached out and said that, have you heard of modern monetary theory? I said, I've heard of it, but let's talk about it more. And after researching and speaking with them, I've support modern monetary theory. And it's the understanding that Congress has the ability and the authority to fund whatever it needs to do to better our economy. So understanding that principle, we could fund whatever we need to. If we need to put more money to our educational system, if we need to put money into our infrastructure or even to small businesses, that's what we can do as congressional representatives to bring that funding back. So to go back to your statement about what to do about the interstate, well, obviously all of the things in the recurring theme is funding. We've done research saying that maybe we can expand 81 if that's what needs to be done to make it safer. I've spoken to truck drivers, and they said having the regulations on governors seems to be problematic because we can't get up to speed.
Limiting the speed on trucks, right?
Mm-hmm. And we have cars sliding in and out in front of us, and we're not actually able – it's not a flow anymore. It's all chopped up, and that's what causes a lot of our problems. So taking the time to research and evaluate what needs to be done, but as far as us as congressmen and women, it's getting the funds there to, after the research, pave the way.
We're talking with Sergio Coppola, one of four Democrats contending for the 6th Congressional Democratic nomination next Tuesday and the right to face Ben Klein in the fall. What else is at the very top of your list, Sergio, as far as campaign issues?
Education. As always, talking about the biggest expenses in our country, looking at healthcare and then going to education and the student debt that goes out there, education has been very important and another priority that I've had. And I said that going back to what Congress can fund, we should be able to provide free community college and vocational education to students just for the start and then continue on to giving them more resources towards higher academics, I agree with as well. But by funding vocational and community college, we are able to lower the debts to the students that are coming out into the workforce. But those institutions work with businesses in our district, in our communities. And so then you're training a workforce that is ready for our district. And
you're talking about free community college.
Free community college and vocational education. And that's how we get people working to these blue-collar jobs that are available. I've been to job fairs and looking at the jobs that are there. They're looking for truck drivers. They're looking for plumbers. They're looking for – the jobs are there, but people aren't being trained for them. And a lot of times I spoke to someone else and they said, yeah, do you know how expensive it is to get trained and certified to even drive a truck? The courses are hard to get to. They're very expensive and they're very far. And everyone seems to be looking for a truck driver when you go to these job fairs. So that's a thing to understand. Another thing is that when students are getting out of college and they have such a debt, you're looking at what they need, the kind of income they need to pull in to pay for their expenses. That is a thing because people are saying, well, students don't want to work. They're not doing these lower paying jobs. And the reality is you can't afford to. You say, I have to make the budget work. And so by eliminating that debt, then a student could actually accept a job that's available and progress further later on instead of being strongholded into only being limited to what type of job they can get.
I'm sure you're not thinking this way, but if you do not win on Tuesday in the primary, Sergio, will you support any of the other three candidates who wins the primary?
So I've made the statement before that I would support three of the four candidates just on basis of integrity and incidents that have happened in the past.
And you have issues with Peter Volleson over the way he filed his campaign papers, correct?
Absolutely. There is definitely something that is unfortunate about a candidate in a head chair that would sneak off to the car and file the paperwork to have his paperwork processed first instead of going into the building where the other candidates are waiting and were told to do. So it's unfortunate that that situation has happened. I was hoping that we would have some resolution before we came up to the primary, but we're still waiting, and the Commonwealth Attorney is still, I guess, waiting to determine if actual willful neglect or corrupt conduct took place in their actions.
All right, we're talking with Sergio Coppola, one of four Democrats contending for the 6th Congressional District nomination for the Democrats next week. Last question is, how do you beat Republican candidate Ben Klein in November, assuming you win next week? Do you tie him to Bob Goodlatte, his former GOP boss, or to President Trump, or do you take some other tact?
Well, looking at his policy page and looking where he stances, he's a further right candidate. And so on the same argument that I have that the district really doesn't want a further left candidate is the same thing as looking as Ben Klein as being on the other side of the spectrum. I believe, like I had mentioned before, that the strength of the candidate will be being able to appeal to both Democratic and Republican voters. And I've made my campaign and my stances and the type of person I am to fit that bill.
Sergio Coppola, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you.